This is Jay Sekulow. A big win at the Eighth Circuit against the Obama administration.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Shouldn't St. Mary's Hospital, which is a Catholic institution in San Francisco, should be required by the administration to provide its workers with a health plan that covers the sterilization and contraception and abortifacients and things that are...
I support the action taken by the president. The compromise, I think, is a reasonable one.
Consider this. Hobby Lobby says the government is forcing the company to follow a law against its own beliefs. There are likely some Hobby Lobby employees who, one, don't feel that these pills cause abortions, because there's controversy about that, and two, want access to them. So isn't Hobby Lobby imposing its will on those workers? I think that when it's left up to companies to decide which drug is right for women, then actually you're making the decision for them as much as the government is.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
There will always be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, you know, he will not yield, says the President of the United States. But guess what? The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit said he will. And that's because the Department of Justice lost a major decision that came out of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals on this HHS mandate, Health and Human Services mandate. That, of course, was this requirement that employers provide abortifacients, whether it violates their conscience or not. We've been to court on that. There's been a number of decisions on that. Courts have been split, but this is the first appellate decision on this HHS mandate. And I want you to understand, everybody, this is a direct challenge to the Obama administration. That's what this is all about. By the way, we've got to take your phone calls on this. How important is the life issue to you now, even after the election? And do you think we need to be fighting to protect the right of conscience for employers, for companies, for individuals? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Frank Mannion, Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, Jeff Surtees, also Senior ACLJ Counsel, will be on the phones with us. And Than Bennett, Head of our Government Affairs, is in Washington, D.C. Let me go first to Jeff. Jeff, what do we have here in this Eighth Circuit? Because I am making it very clear to the American people that this is a challenge against the Obama administration. They're the ones defending Kathleen Sebelius and this HHS mandate.
That's exactly right, Jay. No, the Obama administration is forcing this HHS mandate down the throats of employers nationwide. And the Eighth Circuit said, you know, during the pendency of the appeal of one of these employers that is not going to kowtow to the government is not allowed to impose that mandate against them. That was a major victory, Jay. And that court would not have granted us that injunction that we sought if the court didn't think we had a substantial likelihood of success on the merits of that case.
Frank, let me ask you this. With the Obamacare, you know, everybody thought, well, the Obamacare matter's done. What's your sense? You got the Liberty University case being revisited. You got these HHS mandates going forward. What's your thought on the status of this? We only got about 30 seconds.
Well, it's not done at all, Jay, and these cases just prove that. I mean, we've got these HHS mandate cases popping up all over the country. There's 40 of them on file. We've got three now. We've got another three in the hopper, and people are contacting us every day, and we're not going to back down until the administration does the right thing and protects the right of conscience for all Americans.
Well, let me tell you this, folks. Here's what we want you to do. Number one, I want your comments. I want to know how important this life issue is to you. If you'll go to your phones right now and talk to us about that, we want to hear what you have to say. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we'll be taking your calls on this and your comments as we go after this HHS mandate. How do you feel about the government telling you you must provide abortion services? But then again, let me tell you this, folks. We have beaten the United States Department of Justice at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. So we want to oppose this abortion pill mandate. It's part of Obamacare. We're winning right now. We've got a committee opposing this that we want you to join, because here's the deal. We are good. There's 40 cases. You heard what Frank just said. 40 cases. We're filing briefs in many of them. You could be part of history as we continue to fight back against the Obama administration and Obamacare and this abortion pill mandate. You go to your phones right now. Sign on to this committee. 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. They won the election. They have not won the war. Let's fight back. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you what we've got right now. We have a major victory. I mean huge. U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit issues an injunction, folks, against the Obama administration and their HHS mandatory pro-abortion, abortion mandate pills. They want that as part of our regular health care. Remember, that's what the president said. It's part of essential health care. Well, we've challenged that and now got the first appellate decision on this issue. At the same time, and Than will give you the details on this, folks, and then I want to play something from the president. But, Than, we've also got briefs going in on this, and you said we've got over 40 members of the United States Congress.
Obviously, the case that Frank and Jeff are talking about is huge, but we represent 79 members of Congress, actually, in 12 cases across the nation on behalf of 43 Catholic institutions who are opposed to this. Jay, these aren't all conservative institutions, and one of the things that I like the most about this brief that we're filing, eight female members of Congress are on this case. The other side's going to tell you this is a gender issue. This is not a gender issue. This is a religious freedom issue. And those briefs that we're filing demonstrate that because of those female members of Congress.
Yeah, I sure like to hear some of the women that are listening to our broadcast today and get your comments on this. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me play something for you. Then I'm going to give you a call to action here, folks, because this is what the problem is. I'm going to play two sound bites for you back to back. A statement made by President Obama regarding Planned Parenthood, who we are suing, and then his the statement about being punished with a baby. Listen to both of these, then we're going to take some action.
There will always be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield.
I've got two daughters, 9 years old and 6 years old. I'm going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals. But if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby.
So are we surprised? Are we surprised that this administration, who's put forward Obamacare, which was loaded with abortion issues, are we surprised that they had their Health and Human Services Secretary mandate that these abortifacients be authorized, not only authorized, paid for by people that object? It violates your conscience, and this administration says, too bad, we don't want them punished with a baby. We have formed a committee. That committee is going to file briefs in every one of these cases what we think are appropriate. We've already got a great victory out of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, but folks, we want, in addition to the 70 plus members of the United States House and Senate that we represent, we want to represent you. You could be up there fighting with us against this mandate, again, fighting against these Obamacare issues continually. And everybody said the White House won the election, President Obama won the election, it's all over. Folks, it's not. We've got these cases coming up. There was that case from Liberty University last week going back to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. We just won at the Eighth Circuit. We can win this. But the idea that the administration is targeting basically punished with the baby might as well be their theme. I want you, the American people, to say, no, we're not going to do that. And that's why I want you to join this committee right now, and then we're going to take your calls. Everybody that's listening to me, go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or you call us right now at 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. It is critical that we hear from you. Sign on to this committee as we file these briefs. Folks, we're winning at the Eighth Circuit. We need to push forward again. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Than, let's go to the phones.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and start with Sharon. She's calling from Virginia on line two. Sharon, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I'm against abortion. And I was really concerned about it, but my mother, she had abortion, and it was before me, and then with me, she had an abortion, but I survived it. But she was seven months, but the thing of it is that she was upset because she was raped, and she was trying to get her family to find out about it, but the thing of it is that babies are the Bible. Well, according to the Bible is a gift from God. If you write a God's will and you get pregnant, it's still a reason because that's life.
Well, you know, you're the abortion survivor coming from you. No one else could say it like you can say it, and the fact is that there are a lot of people that share your sentiment. And let me go to Frank and then to Jeff on this. You know, we've had a lot of calls over the years from abortion survivors. And I think we've got a cultural situation here where the cultural divide, actually on the life issue, we're carrying the day. But this administration, do you think it's fair, Frank, to say that they are the most hostile towards life of any administration we've had in recent history?
No question about it, Jay. I mean, from day one, and really before day one, when the president campaigned the first time he ran for office, he made it clear that he was going to do everything in his power to enact Planned Parenthood's anti-life agenda. And he's doing everything in his power to do that. The HHS mandate pushes it even further, though. It's one thing to say that he's going to do everything that the government can do, but this HHS mandate is making employers do the Planned Parenthood agenda. That's taking it a step beyond what I think we even expected this administration to do, and that's why we're fighting it so aggressively.
But, you know, the president, when he was asked by Rick Warren in that debate back in 2008 about when does a baby get human rights, you listen to his answer, and we should not be shocked. Listen to this.
At what point does a baby get human rights, in your view?
Well, you know, I think that whether you're looking at it from a theological perspective or a scientific perspective, answering that question with specificity, is above my pay grade.
I'm sorry, you're the president of the United States, Jeff. He doesn't get that kind of pass.
No, he doesn't. It's above his pay grade is a ridiculous line. This is a fundamental liberty interest for millions of unborn children. To say that whether or not they have any rights to be born and to be citizens of this country is above someone's pay grade is absolutely ridiculous, and it speaks volumes about this president and his administration's views regarding the sanctity of human life. And he says it's above his pay grade, but he does have an answer, and it's an answer he didn't communicate to Rick Warren, and that is he doesn't believe an unborn child has any rights whatsoever. That's exactly why he continues to push abortion on demand. It's exactly why that he takes it, as Frank said, a step further than that, not just abortion on demand, but free abortion paid for by employers,
whether or not
they have a conscientious objection to
that. That's the irony of all of this. Than, what is going on in Washington all of this right now?
Members of Congress are engaged on this. They have been from the beginning, Jay. And here's where I'm focusing. There are actually a bipartisan cross-section of members who are engaged on this. We saw that when it was being debated as part of the legislation. But I think what the president is doing here, Jay, he is going to pit some members of his own party who represent some of these districts with, you know, with heavy Catholic populations that are having their rights violated. He is pushing them to the table on this. Of course, he got abortion in the bill. But what he's done here, he has pushed this beyond the abortion issue and into the religious freedom issue. He's going out on a limb, Jay, that I'm not sure his party can universally back him on. We'll see if they come to the table on it.
All right, let's take some more calls. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Let's go to Walter calling from Ohio on line 3. Walter, you're on the air.
Hi, Walter.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Pro-lifer here, but I do have a question.
Sure.
What's the difference between an employer paying for the abortion and then paying for vasectomies and getting tubes tied, and nobody's complaining about that?
Well, this is a question of the right of conscience of the employer. So the employer is making the – we're not going in and mandating what the employer must do or must not do. The government is. The government's saying you must provide this even though it violates your conscience. So it's kind of the flip side of all of that. It is this mandate coming down from the government. And, Frank, I think this is the greatest attack on religious liberty that we've seen in our lifetime. When an employer is put in a position of having to violate their conscience because the government is telling them, you must provide this abortifacient, you must do this.
Yeah, and what people don't seem to understand, and listening to the montage at the beginning of the show, no employer who objects to this is trying to prevent anybody's access to anything. No employer is deciding what an employee does with his or her salary when they get home. They're just saying that if you ask me to pay for it, then I have to have a say in whether or not that violates my conscience. It's none of the employer's business what an employee does with their so-called reproductive rights until the employee says, but I want you, boss, to pay for my sexual lifestyle. Then it does become the employer's business, and it violates the employer's conscience from the beginning of this country. The right of religious liberty and the right of religious conscience has been the first thing that's protected in our Constitution. That certainly trumps anybody's so-called right to follow their own lifestyle choices and have their boss pay for them.
Which is exactly what's going on here, folks. All right, we're going to take more of your calls. We're going to let you know what the impact of Obamacare is going to be over the next several months. But, folks, we've got the Department of Justice. I want you to understand this. The Obama administration is the defendant in our lawsuit, their HHS office. They're defended by the United States Department of Justice. And we took this HHS mandate case to the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals basically on an emergency application for an injunction, and we won. So you want to make that stick around the country. We've got other cases, other briefs that need to be filed. Become part of the team. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 to sign on that committee or ACLJ.org. But call now, 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Well, we're announcing a huge victory. The HHS mandate, which is Health and Human Services, requiring these employers to put abortifacients in their insurance plan, even if it violates their conscience, telling Catholic hospitals they must do the same thing. Christian business owners, you must do the same thing. Well, we got a major victory at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. That is those are the courts right below the Supreme Court of the United States. They issued an injunction pending appeal, which is huge. It's gotten a lot of attention, but it's a major win. And what I want to stress here is the opponents to us are the United States Department of Justice and the Obama administration, and we're winning. So we are really thrilled about that. It was a great victory. And we are also forming a committee right now to file briefs in. There's 40 cases out there. We're not going to file in all 40, but we're going to file in dozens. And that's where you come in. We want to have 100,000 signatures on this committee. This is where you can make a difference as we're winning these cases. And some of the ones where it's going to be an uphill battle. We need your help. Go to aclj.org to sign on to that committee, Standing for Life, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. By the way, if you don't get the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live, if you're on SiriusXM, you can listen to it live. Just go to aclj.org. We stream it there. And coming up in the next half hour of the broadcast, we've got some very interesting and very important interviews for you, including some of our movie that we've put together on the life issue that you're not going to want to miss. So we'll let you listen to some of that. But we've got a lot of calls coming in. Let's go right to them. Who do we have next, Dan?
Full bank of phone calls. We're going to start with Christina calling from California on line 6. Christina, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Christina.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, you know, my primary issue is that I always perceive healthcare to be a life-preserving effort. And I do believe that when it comes to issues of the womb that endanger a woman's life, those medical necessities are there, and that every employer should be required to provide health care with regards to preserving health and life. But now when we're talking about taking lives and hurting and really more of a non-necessity in a matter of I consider cosmetology something that's not necessary to preserve life, forcing employers to pay for this kind of thing is almost like paying for a breast augmentation.
Well, I mean, here's what you've got. I mean, and this is what I think needs to be clear here. It's Frank and Jeff. Let me go to Jeff on this first. Let's talk about what this mandate actually does and what it does not do. Jeff, put the parameters in place here so people understand that this is a requirement on the employer itself.
Yes, yeah. The employer under the HHS mandate is required to include insurance programs for their employees, free coverage for abortion-inducing drugs, that is contraceptive drugs with an abortifacient mechanism of action, sterilization, regular contraception, and patient counseling for the same. So while, you know, there are many Catholic employers who not only just object to the abortion-inducing drugs, but to contraception and sterilization as well, and they have to pay for a policy that will allow their employees to use this free of charge. As Frank pointed out earlier, it's one thing to say that, you know, there is a right to these types of services. It's another thing to say that I'm going to force a private individual who has a conscientious religious objection to doing so into paying for it. That's where the line has been crossed here, Jay. And if we let the government get away with this, what else is coming down the pike? It's going to be pro-life doctors being forced to do surgical abortions, even though their consciences won't permit it. And this is why this issue is so important. And not only that, you know, this issue, while we've been involved in this for a year now, these fights are just beginning. We have a tough row to hoe here with the number of cases that are pending in courts across the country, with the cases that are now starting to come up to the courts of appeal. This battle is ultimately going to arrive at the United States Supreme Court, and we have a long way to go before we get there.
There's no doubt about that. Let me say this also, folks. we want to encourage you to become part of the team here. You can do that by signing on to this committee at aclj.org or calling us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Let me tell you something else. We are in a matching challenge here at the ACLJ for the month of December. This is a big month for our supporters to stand with us. I want to encourage you to make an online gift to the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. Any amount you give is doubled. We're in a matching challenge. Same thing on the phones. If you make a gift on the phones, we get that match. So if you donate $10, we get $20. If you donate $100, we get $200. We really appreciate it. So aclj.org to sign the committee. Want to make that online donation or 1-877-989-2255. Who's next?
Gloria from New York is calling on line 2. Gloria, you're on the air.
Hi, Gloria.
Hi, Jay. I just want to say that I hope our president did not and does not think that Sasha and his other daughter, who were babies too, weren't punishment when Michelle became pregnant with them.
Well, that use of terms, Frank, I thought said volumes. I mean, when the president said, I don't want him punished with a baby.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of shocking and really kind of ill-befitting somebody holding the office of president of the United States, I thought. But, you know, we don't have to go down that line. The thing that I think people don't understand sometimes, Jay, is the government can do this themselves. They don't need to require religiously objecting employers from paying for things that violate their conscience. The government already provides free contraception, sterilization, including abortifacients, to millions of Americans. All they have to do is lower the income requirements to participate in those programs, and this issue goes away. What's perverse about this is the compulsion they seem to have to coerce objecting people who aren't trying to prevent anybody's access. They just don't want to pay for it. Why does the government feel the need to trample on religious liberty? If the government wants to do this, do it yourself.
Well, that's the real issue here, Than. You know, we take a look at this. We take a look at the fact that Planned Parenthood is still going to get, what's the latest number this year? Another $400 million of taxpayer dollars?
$350 million, yep.
Yeah, you look at that, and what's the sense on Capitol Hill right now with Planned Parenthood still getting funding, despite all of the nonsense, and we're, of course, suing them in two major cases. What's the sense on that when we've got all this fiscal cliff stuff we're talking about between the Palestinian Authority, the Egyptians, and Planned Parenthood? I could save you about $2.5 billion right there.
Yeah, I think that the sense on the Hill here is clear, Jay, that this is just part of a larger effort. I mean, this administration is clearly sold out on the abortion issue. And listen, you heard it from both Frank and Jeff. The president is using executive authority to force this now. But think about the next steps, Jay. What is going to be mandated next? He can use this same regulatory scheme to mandate abortion on demand, coverage for abortion on demand. I think this is just the first small step, so it'll be more palatable when he does this. This is not the finish line for him, Jay. This is where he's starting. Folks on the Hill recognize this. That's why we're taking such an aggressive stand now. This is a serious issue, clearly, but steps 2, 3, and 4, it's just going to get much worse from here.
All right, folks, as I said earlier, if you want to get the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live, if you're listening on Sirius XM, you get it there live. If not, just go to aclj.org. We're streaming it. Folks, I don't like my taxpayer dollars going to Planned Parenthood. I don't like it being funded the way it is. I don't like the fact that the president is forcing employers to violate their sincerely held religious beliefs and provide and fund for abortifacients that is objectionable under their right to conscience. I, again, don't like this Planned Parenthood funding. If you're sick of it too and say enough is enough, and I'm willing to stand up against the United States Department of Justice and the White House in court and carry the day as we have so far at the Eighth Circuit, you go to your phones right now and you sign on to this petition, this committee, to stand with us as we defend life. Here's the number, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255 to have your voice heard as we stand for the unborn. 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. And don't forget, we are in a matching challenge. Any donation you make to the ACLJ, tax deductible, and we get a match for aclj.org.
The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Everyone, 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. We're talking about this HHS mandate. If you're just joining us, major victory at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. And we got an injunction pending appeal. And Frank, well, let me go to Jeff first on this. Jeff, that's a rare thing to get. That's a, and you said, a positive sign, because there has to be a determination that we have a substantial likelihood to win on the merits when it's finally completely heard up there.
That's exactly right, Jay. Courts of appeals seldom grant these. And so when we got the grant here, we knew the Eighth Circuit was looking closely at this issue. And as you just mentioned, they would not have granted this if they did not think that we had a substantial likelihood of succeeding on the merits of our constitutional and federal statutory claims.
All right, Frank, let me ask you this, and then we're going to go right to the calls here. How big of a case is this Eighth Circuit case? I mean, where is it? I mean, what's the time frame? Because the next stop on this one, obviously, once the full decision comes out, it's going to be the Supreme Court of the United States.
That's right, Jay. Well, we've got a brief we're expecting from the Department of Justice next week, and we've got to respond to that by Christmas Eve, I think. So that, you know, the case goes on. It is the case that's furthest along of all of these challenges to the HHS mandate, and I think rightly so. It's getting the most attention because this is the first time a court of appeals has weighed in, and as you well know, that's the next stop before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, this is going to be big, folks. Huge ramifications. All right, a lot of calls that we want to get to. Let's go right back to them. Who do we have, Than?
We're going to start with Linda calling from Arizona on line 4. Linda, you're on the air.
Hi, Linda.
Thank you. I was wondering, I have a very strong upset that I have to pay in my retirement insurance for abortions through my insurance. Is there any way that I could...
You're going to ask, is there a way to opt out of that coverage? And the answer on, is there any way, and I think the answer is no. I think the employers are being required to do it, to pay for it, and that's going to be part of the standard plans. Is that right, Jeff and Frank?
Yeah, Jay, unfortunately, if you're part of a plan, the only way to opt out of it is to tell your employer you don't want to be covered under their health benefits plan. But there's no legal right. We've been asked this by several folks from around the country, that you can force your employer to write you a separate policy. I mean, it's, I suppose if you have a generous enough employer, they might do it.
But that's not likely.
Yeah, there's no legal right to force them to do that. You either have to opt out of the coverage itself, you know, or you're part of it.
That's the problem here, and that's why this is such a great tragedy when it comes to religious freedom and religious liberty. Who do we have next, Dan?
Let's go to Diana calling from Georgia on line 2. Diana, you're on the air.
Hi, Diana.
Hi. Yes, I'm a Christian, and I believe in a woman's right to choose, because I believe that Christ gave everyone the right to do whatever, to choose life or death. And
well, hold it. You don't believe he gave you the right to choose life or death? Just, you know, do you think you have the right to kill the person next to you?
I believe that he gave you.
Excuse me. Do you think you have the right to, I don't know if you're driving, which sounds like you're in your car, but if someone's driving next to you and you're mad at him today, do you think you have the right to kill him?
Well, that's not the point.
No. That's exactly the point, because you just said that Christ gave you the ability to choose whether someone lives or dies. You know what? He did not give you the choice to play God, which is what you're saying here. Do you think let me ask you this question. Do you think an unborn child has any rights at all, the right to life?
I believe that if you were meant to live or whatever, that you would still live.
And if someone shoots the person next to you, you know, see, this is an argument. I'm a Christian, but, and then the but is, I don't believe that what the Bible says about the unborn child is correct. So, you know, I don't believe you get to, you know, pick and choose on that, to tell you the truth. I believe in a fundamental difference. And when you listen to what we've got coming up next, folks, you're going to hear some stories from people that have been directly affected on the abortion issue. You're going to want to stay tuned. We've got a lot more ahead. Folks, let me also encourage you, if you haven't signed on to that committee, do it today, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. You can call us at 1-877-989-2255 to stand up for life. But also, as I said, we're in a matching challenge right now, and that means any amount you donate, we get a matching grant for. So ACLJ.org, you can make an online donation or call us at 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And we've got a lot to talk about ahead and a lot for you to listen to, a lot of education coming up, folks. Some of this from our movie, Choosing Life. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned. A lot more ahead.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I wanted to bring everybody up to date on a victory that we received yesterday, very important, involving these series of cases we filed involving these HHS mandates. Frank Mannion is senior counsel for the ACLJ, heads up our group there in Kentucky, and Jeff Surtees, also a senior ACLJ counsel, has been working on these cases. Jeff wrote the brief on this case, but let's go and start, Frank, first, before I get to Jeff on the specifics, on the background. Who are we representing? What was the issue in the case?
Sure, Jay. We represent Frank O'Brien, who's a St. Louis business owner. He runs a company that deals with the mining and the processing of ceramic and other heat-resistant materials, mainly for industrial uses, things like car parts, parts of engines, things like that. O'Brien has 87 employees. He's a devout Catholic. He does not believe that he can, in good conscience, pay for such things as part of an employee health plan as contraception and specifically abortion-inducing drugs, so-called morning-after pills or Plan B, that cause the death of a living human being shortly after fertilization. Along comes the HHS mandate, which says that Frank O'Brien and every other business owner in the country who has a group health benefits plan must pay for those kinds of things. It's the first time the government has done this, certainly the first time the federal government has done it. Other states have similar mandates, but virtually every state has a broad, some broader than others, conscience exemption. And Missouri, the state where O'Brien lives, has a contraceptive mandate, but has a total exemption for religious objectors. So he was fine up until Kathleen Sebelius and President Obama decided to coerce him and other believers. He came to us. We filed the first lawsuit on behalf of a private business owner challenging this thing back in March of this year. In a couple of months ago, the federal district court there in St. Louis threw our case out, to the surprise of, I think, everybody in the country on both sides of the issue.
And what was the basis of the reason they tossed the case at the trial court level?
The trial judge said that this mandate, which says to people like Frank O'Brien, you must pay for things that you consider sinful or morally objectionable, was not a substantial burden on his religious beliefs. Nobody had made that argument.
Yeah.
The Department of Justice barely mentioned that argument because they knew that it was ridiculous. Unfortunately, this court bought that argument and really kind of created that argument for the government and threw the case out on that basis. We filed an appeal before the ink on that opinion was even dry, and yesterday the Court of Appeals granted an injunction pending appeal against the enforcement of the HHS mandate against Frank O'Brien and his company.
So, Jeff, the case goes up to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals after the district court threw it out. What did you argue in the brief?
We argue, Jay, that the district court opinion was wrong to find that there was no substantial burden on the religious exercise rights of Frank O'Brien and his company. And we argued to the Eighth Circuit that it would violate all principles of equity to deny an injunction pending our appeal in this case when the HHS mandate does not apply to 191 million individuals nationwide. It just wouldn't make any sense to say that Frank O'Brien and his 87 employees have to comply with the HHS mandate, but not 191 million individuals across the country.
All right, so what exactly did we ask the Eighth Circuit? Because this it's highly unusual to get an injunction like this. What did we ask?
Jay, we asked the court to enter an injunction against the defendants here, the government's enforcement of the mandate against our clients, Frank O'Brien and O'Brien Industrial Holdings, during the pendency of their appeal. And so while this case is on appeal here before the Eighth Circuit, because we have appealed the erroneous decision of the court below, while this is all pending before the Eighth Circuit, Frank O'Brien can now follow his religious beliefs in choosing a health plan that accords with his religious beliefs.
So, next question. The government lost here. So let me go first back to Jeff, and then I'm going to Frank. What is the government's next move? Because I want people to understand we're fighting the United States Department of Justice, the federal government on this, the Obama administration, and yesterday we won at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. What are the government's options here?
Jay, the government's option here, as far as the injunction pending appeal, is none. There's no avenue or procedural maneuver to appeal this.
Can they ask for a rehearing on bonk?
Not something on an administrative nature of this
okay.
of this type, Jay.
All right.
So now they just have to sit and take this decision while our appeal is heard by the Eighth Circuit.
So Frank, what do you anticipate happening next? Now it goes back to the is it going to be now the full appeal before the three-judge panel of the Eighth Circuit? When will that go forward?
Well, the government's brief on the main appeal is due around December 13th. We then get 10 days to reply to that. Case will then get scheduled for oral argument. I suspect it will be a fairly short schedule. Let's face it, the courts of appeals know these cases are going to end up at the Supreme Court. And just as they did with the challenges to the overall Health Care Act, they put these things on kind of a fast track. So I would not be surprised to find us arguing this appeal early February with a decision, you know, within 45 to 60 days after that. And, of course, there's cases like this all over the place in many different circuits. We've got at least two others filed, and we've got another half dozen we're juggling right now, getting ready to file. And other organizations and other firms are filing them, too. So the O'Brien case is first. It's first of all the cases, including the nonprofit cases, on the track. And as of yesterday, we like the way it's going.
So let me ask you this, both of you this. The Supreme Court sent out a grant vacating remand order on Monday to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals to rehear a portion of the Liberty University case. Jeff, what do you think that means for Obamacare? Some commentators are saying, it's not going to mean much. It's going to be a tough claim to make. It should have been looked at now, but not serious. Or others are saying it could have a serious impact. What do you think?
It very well could have a serious impact. I mean, we're going to have the Fourth Circuit is now going to, among many other things, hear a RFRA claim challenge,
that's same
religious
challenge
freedom
that we
brought
restoration
against the
Act
HHS mandate against
know.
Obamacare.
Yeah, that's the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And is that on the Frank, is that on the entire Obamacare or just those portions like the mandates?
Well, it's not on the HHS mandate, which is something
right.
that needs to be clarified.
Yeah.
You know, the original story that was spread all over
that was
incorrect. The Internet was inaccurate. It made it sound like the HHS mandate was going to be before the Fourth Circuit. That's not. But it is the other major portions of Obamacare that, you know, may or may not have merit to it. But it's very interesting and encouraging that the issue is still alive in the courts.
Yeah, I think the playout on this is going to be significant. All right, now we've got a couple of other lawsuits that we filed on this. Let's go through a few of those and a new one that's about to be filed. What's coming up that we're anticipating filing shortly?
Actually, we've been retained by the Drury Hotel Company to file a challenge to the HHS mandate, something we hope to do as early as next week. People probably are familiar with that company. It's a company. It's a family-owned company. It's been around for probably 80 years.
They just built a huge Drury Plaza right near our media center here.
Right. Very much a family-friendly company, strong religious beliefs by the owners, and they, too, do not want to pay for drugs that cause early abortions. That case will be filed in the Eastern District of Missouri.
Now, people need to understand, Frank, these are not small companies. They've got 130 different locations. These are billion-dollar businesses. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big deal. And we're hearing from business owners, small and large, all over the country. We've got, as I said, probably a half a dozen cases in various stages of preparation. The Drury case will probably be the next one we file.
Where will that be filed?
Friday, Ed White's going to be arguing an injunction motion on another case that's already in court.
Where's that one?
This one is in East St. Louis, which is actually the Southern District of Illinois, and that's part of the Seventh Circuit. So that's a whole new avenue of attack that we have
there. And the Drury case is going to be where?
The Drury case will be in Eastern District of Missouri, Cape Girardeau Division.
Yeah, so that will be Cape Girardeau Division. That would be what circuit as well?
That's Eighth Circuit.
Eighth, yeah. So, wow.
So that court obviously will look to what the Eighth Circuit did yesterday in the O'Brien case.
All right, Jeff, really quickly here, this goes to the Supreme Court ultimately. What's your guess?
I think the Supreme Court will to vote to uphold religious liberty
and
say that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act applies in these cases with full force and that there is no compelling governmental interest that supports the HHS mandate. I think the government is going to lose this one, Jay, before the United States Supreme Court.
But again, a huge victory. We appreciate it. Frank and Jeff have done and Ed White have done a magnificent job. They've been working with our teams around the country on this. And, of course, anytime you win at the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, that's going to be great.
That was Jay from last week with senior counsels of the ACLJ, Frank Mannion and Jeff Surtees. Of course, they're leading the litigation that we are engaged in the Eighth Circuit. Of course, that case involving a private business owner who has objections to this mandate. Great news last week in that ruling. It was great to get the update from Frank and Jeff on that. Listen, folks, I think that interview sets up really what this issue is all about. You're going to hear a lot in the mainstream media, a lot from the pro-abortion side of this issue, that this is about contraceptives. This is about making sure women have access to contraceptives, to abortifacients, to sterilization. When Frank and Jeff really gave it to you straight there, they told you that this is a religious freedom issue. Access to contraceptives, whether you agree with it or not, they are readily available, as is insurance coverage for them. The issue here is whether or not the federal government has the constitutional authority to force a religious institution or a private institution, maybe they're not religious, maybe they're just a private institution that has a moral or religious objection to providing that coverage. Maybe they have an objection. Does the federal government have the ability to force them to provide that coverage? We don't think so. We are litigating the issue. Of course, we're engaging with members of Congress on the issue as well. If you agree with us, if you want to add your name to that committee to sign these briefs with us, call now 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, 877-989-2255. After this break, we'll be playing a special documentary for you. Scenes from Life Happens, a history of the pro-life movement. We'll be back right after this.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Folks, welcome back to the broadcast. I want to play something for you in this segment of the broadcast. Many of you have seen our pro-life documentary, Choosing Life. We now have a new one that's called Life Happens. It gets into a little bit more detail about the history of the pro-life movement. We want to give you just a special clip from that segment. We want you to see the full documentary soon, but this is a segment from our new documentary on the pro-life movement, Life Happens.
Gas prices are soaring. The global threat of terror is at an all-time high. Our country is politically divided, and we are in the middle of the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. There's only one thing that's for sure anymore. It's a great day to be alive. I'm not what you would call a pro-life activist. In fact, for much of my life, I thought those people were a little crazy. When I was about 15, I was watching TV with my mom, and there were some protesters laying in front of a clinic, being arrested. I told her how silly they all seemed, and then she dropped a bomb on me. She told me that in the middle of 1972, she had almost aborted me. My life had been spared because abortion was illegal and she was too scared of an underground clinic. After high school, I went to Florida to work for a publishing company. Everybody there was crazy pro-life. To be honest, I didn't care for it much, mainly because I lived right next door to this clinic called the Aware Woman, and I had to fight my way through protesters just to get back home. I never peeked inside the windows, but I often saw women crying. I thought about my mom, but I never had the guts to go tell any of those women that that baby inside them could be me someday. Not that that would have helped. Nice hair. I hear both sides screaming at each other, but what are they really saying? I decided once and for all to find out what this fighting is really about.
I tell you that there is a moral imperative for all of us to defend the rights of the unborn child.
Stop denying women the option to have abortion. It all gets hooked up into health care. It all should be free.
You have far more value than your boobs.
We can't keep it open.
And we're talking about women's rights, and we're talking about individuals' rights, and we're talking about civil rights.
It is not the right of a woman to choose. It is not even the right to life for unborn children. The issue before us is a repulsive medical practice.
There is no peer review on this procedure. There are no medical papers on this procedure. This is a procedure outside of normal medicine.
Today, I sign the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. This important legislation ensures that every infant born alive, including an infant who survives an abortion procedure, is considered a person under federal law.
The more I learn about these proposed rules by the Bush administration, the more appalled I am and the more determined I am to stop them.
This is not a regional issue. This is not an issue that's affected by sex or race or by philosophy or by party.
Our people have genuine and deeply felt differences on the subject of abortion, even if abortion is safe, legal, and rare.
This horrible procedure is not rare, and it is murder of the worst kind.
The longer it's debated, the more the pressure is going to be on Congress to do something about this.
There are thousands of medical charlatans in the United States. I'm not going to be able to put them out of business, but I think we can hurt them.
Any one of you going for surgery would not want a horde screaming at you.
I was arrested for simply kneeling and praying on a public sidewalk.
You bought my clinics, I'll bought your churches. You bought my clinics, I'll bought your churches.
What is it, only politically correct speech gets to happen?
This is not a free speech issue. This is an issue of outrageous and uncivil, indecent conduct intended to prevent women from making their own choices.
A lot of the people that were there were either raped or they had fetal abnormalities or the mother's life was in danger.
The only physicians they were able to trot out is testify that this protects the health of the mother are those physicians who do it.
This is a gratuitous, unnecessary insult to the women of the United States of America.
Opposition to abortion isn't discrimination against women.
In fact, I feel like they are speaking out against what is surgical and patriarchal exploitation of women.
A nation which sanctions infanticide is no better morally than China, no better morally than Nazi Germany was during the 1930s.
Those in this country who are against women exercising their rights of privacy and choice are determined. I believe that they are willing to engage in all types of violence and terrorism.
Are you suggesting that you believe it would be appropriate to kill somebody who is involved in the delivery of abortion services?
How did all this start? How did America become so divided on this issue?
New York State, among others, already have liberalized abortions. Now the rest of the country must follow suit. The White House offered no comment, but President Nixon has always strongly opposed liberalized abortion. Other opponents are now talking of a constitutional amendment to reverse today's ruling. Until then, if the experience of New York State is any guide, America will eventually have one abortion for every two births.
The catalyst for the whole abortion issue was, a lot of people think, was Roe versus Wade. But the reality is the issue of abortion had been brewing in the lower courts from a legal standpoint and from a moral standpoint for about 10 years before Roe versus Wade, and then really got involved when Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973. The problem was there was not much of a response.
I think it was the birth of political, our current political correctness. All the professors told us that the unviable tissue mass and a baby isn't a baby until it's outside the womb, and people shouting at the rallies. And the media was starting to pick it up too. It was Get Out of Vietnam time, it was Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather all telling us that the establishment as represented by Richard Nixon were bad, and these things were just unquestioned.
A lot of us began to see that this had some significant implications, even though at the time the rest of the country were largely oblivious to it.
It didn't quite legalize abortion. People shouldn't think of it that way. It didn't create a law allowing for abortion. What it did was strike down all laws limiting or controlling abortion.
But there was this huge gap, I mean gigantic gap, between 1973 and about 1987, where nothing happened except the abortion machinery was put in place.
The crystallizing impact was the election of Ronald Reagan. Reagan's election sort of brought to the forefront the life issue.
folks. Again, that was a couple of key segments from the new documentary that we have, Life Happens. Listen, if you want to engage with us on this fight against the HHS mandate, the violation of religious freedom that is being engaged under the regulatory authority that was granted under Obamacare, we want you to call now, 877-989-2255. Of course, you can, as always, add your name online as well at aclj.org. But call now, 877-989-2255. Stand up for life. Stand up for religious freedom.
The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.